anything other than a jumble, although they could feel impressions. Some say that it was a radblast sickness, others that it was a sign from the Exalted Ones that we must learn on our journey, and so it could not be quick. Either way, we became wanderers, unable to divine from our own maps in the space of less than 2 generations.
Well, we can read these, and if our current direction is anything to go by, your time of learning may just about be over. Other alliances and enmities were forged in the quiet of the journey. Christy found herself spending time with a young Amazon who had a mass of tumbling auburn curls. She was taller than the rest, and was glad to find in the statuesque Christy someone of a similar size. Her name was Tammy, and she was barely out of her teens. Yet already she'd proved herself in battle, and explained to Christy how the Gate Girls were trained from birth to carry the wisdom and fight of the tribe. Although the men did many of the everyday tasks about the camp, the secrets of medicine and healing were carried down the female line. The young girls were schooled in camp every day on the techniques of both healing and harming, and Christy watched Tammy teach a class of younger girls unarmed combat, while Margia taught them how to handle and maintain blasters. Remembering her own youth with Mother Sonia in harmony, the Titian-haired warrior was keen to discuss the secrets of healing with Tammy, who was herself learning how to be a medicine woman. They spent much time discussing herbal medicine and healing, finding that both had the natural earth touch that enabled them to locate injury and heal with the body's own natural energy and force. The tribal girl had the bubbling enthusiasm of youth for the skills she was learning, and was keen to learn from Christy. Mildred, who'd spent her time since awakening into the Deathlands learning natural healing skills to augment what she already knew, was also interested in Tammy's teachings, as anything that could supplement the meager resources of scavenged pre-dark medicines and drugs was welcome. It also took her mind off something that was bugging her more and more. Tammy took great pleasure in the attention. She also noticed the look she was getting from Dean as he occupied himself with John and Pitor. The young Cotter had made himself known to the two friends when, on the morning after their arrival in camp, he'd happened across the boys wrestling. Rising early, he had decided to take a look around the camp while the others were barely stirring, and his attention had been drawn to the sounds of scuffling from behind a tent in the far corner of the camp. Not stopping to wake anyone, Dean ran to the tent, keeping low and as light of foot as possible, skipping over the few guy ropes that secured some of the more primitive tent constructions. As he approached the source of the noise, Dean crouched closer to the ground, his hand snaking to where the Browning high power was holstered. In an almost unconscious and instinctive gesture, he checked that it was easily at hand, the holster unhindered by any obstruction. The younger Cotter edged closer to the edge of the tent, peering around to get a view of the struggle. 2 young men were wrestling behind the tent, their noise subdued as both were concentrating intently on the matter at hand. Dean recognized one of them immediately as Pitor, the adopted son of the Queen. He also had a position in the armory working under Margia. The other combatant was a worker in the armory. Dean had seen him around the camp and knew that his name was John, but hadn't had any contact with him. He'd seen both young men together before, and so relaxed when he realized that the wrestling match was for fun. The 2 young men didn't see him. They were both standing, thigh and calf muscles straining under the tension of their efforts. John was attempting to trip Pitor and throw him across his body while still retaining a grip on one arm, so that he could follow through with an arm lock. However, because of Pitor's strength, he was finding it hard to get the advantage, and was unwilling to give an inch in order to gain momentum, as he knew that the taller Pitor would immediately take advantage.
"Foot behind on his left leg, then flick. He'll loosen his grip instinctively to save his balance. It'll only be for a fraction of a second, but that's all you need."
"What?"
Both John and Pitor looked up in surprise, their shock causing them to lose balance, tumbling in different directions, and pulling each other into a tangle of limbs on the ground.
"Sorry, guys, I thought you heard me walk up."
"No, stupid works, of course we didn't. Think I'm gonna let this bastard beat me because I'm listening for someone?"
"Fuck you, asshole. Wait, Dean, you think you could do better?"
"Maybe."
Both young men were older than Dean, and he gave them a little in height and weight, but he definitely had more vital combat experience.
"Wanna try?"
"Sure, what the fuck?"
"Okay."
Although it was John who'd spoken, it was Pitor who moved. Hoping that his friend's actions had deceived Dean, the lanky youth sprang forward to grab him by the arm and pull him into a neck lock. Dean saw it and swerved his torso and struck out with the flattened edge of his hand, avoiding the main thrust of Pitor's body and landing a blow just above the elbow, deadening all feeling and response in Peter's arm. His momentum carried him forward. Unable to use his deadened arm to protect himself, Peter rolled uneasily onto one shoulder as he hit the ground. Dean had already turned his attention to John, knowing that the stocky youth would follow the initial attack. When he focused his attention, John was already in full flight, hoping to catch Carter off guard and drive him off balance with a shoulder charge. But Dean was aware of the move too quickly and pivoted on his heel, turning as John began to pass him, using the older youth's momentum to push him forward. John was unable to check his own forward momentum, let alone compensate for the push by Dean, and tumbled forward, arms and legs flailing to retain balance.
Whoa!
By his best efforts, he found himself tumbling into Peter as the lanky youth attempted to regain his feet. The two would-be assailants collapsed into a flailing heap for the second time in minutes.
Oh, damn it, John. You guys are strong and keen, but no one's taught you anything, have they?
John looked up.
We're just the men. We don't get to fight like the trueborn warriors.
Seems pretty stoop to me. You can never have too many fighters. Would it be all right if I taught you guys how to use what you've got? I mean, I wouldn't be causing trouble, would I?
Gloria wouldn't mind, I know that. Nor would any of the others, except maybe Margia.
That's worth bearing in mind, you know. I gotta work for her all the time, and you know what a bastard of a temper she's got when she gets going.
She hard to work for?
Sometimes she's okay, but she gets these moods where nothing's right, and then she gets really bad. She beat the fuck out of John once just because one of the other women got the man she wanted. She said it was because he was slacking off, but that's not true. He might be a lazy bastard for some things, but he loves the armory.
Got that right. I'm so glad to be selected for that place, because I love blasters and taking them to bits to clean them. That hurt more than the beating, the fact that she said I was neglecting my work. But she's a weird one sometimes, not like the others. When she really wants something, you better not get in the way.
I'll remember that. So, let's get to wrestling. It really bugs me that you couldn't get out of that arm lock move.
Since that morning, Dean had spent much of his time with the two young men, and had learned much about the everyday habits of the tribe from them, who shared in their close comradeship the habit of watching the eccentricities of the other tribe members. They also shared an obsession with Tammy that Dean rapidly understood as he watched her with Christy. Dean also noted with interest that Jack was becoming more relaxed in the tribe. The albino's obsession with whatever he'd seen in his Matt Trans vision was receding further and further into memory as the gate's warrior queen seemed to take a personal interest in making sure that Jack felt comfortable. As queen of the gate, Gloria had less of the day-to-day activities of the tribe to fulfill, leaving that to the men and lesser Amazons. Much of her time was spent in personal training, sparring with the other warriors, and entrancing herself to recall the wisdom of the ancients. Still, she hadn't missed the way that Jack had been looking at her, at first in open disbelief that the vision of his dream had come to him, and then surreptitiously when he realized that she was becoming aware of him. Jack was fascinated by Gloria. He was a man of action and reaction, not of reflection and reasoning. He watched the woman closely, hoping for some sign as to what his dream had meant, but none was forthcoming. Instead, he found himself being pulled into the training routines of the Amazon warriors. It began when Gloria was working out one morning with two other Amazons, Tammy and Jess, practicing their swiftness with their pongas, juggling the blades with blinding speed. Jack was transfixed by their lethal beauty.
Hey, Whitey, you seen enough yet?
Me?
Yeah, you want to join in, sweets?
Not my people. Not my rhythm.
I wouldn't say that. I saw you against those stickies, remember? You're a natural warrior. Join us.
Not allowing Jack the chance to answer, Gloria tossed her panga through the air, spinning it wickedly with her wrist so that it seemed to curve elliptically in its flight pattern. Without even pausing, the albino altered his stance to follow its flight and neatly plucked the panga out of the air with his right hand, bringing it down to his side. At the same time, his left hand snaked into one of the hidden openings in his patched camo jacket, producing a leaf-bladed throwing knife that he sent flying toward the warrior queen. It flew straight and true toward her head, and Jack noted with admiration the way she stood perfectly still, not moving a muscle until the knife was within a fraction of an inch of removing her left eye. Then, with a movement so quick that it was beyond even a blur, she plucked the knife from the air, her reflexes so sharp and precise that she was able to trap the blade between the middle and index fingers of her hand.
Et toi?
You're pretty good, honey. Maybe we could learn a lot from each other. So, you want to join us?
If all is good, then yeah.
Jack was accepted into the triangle, which became a circle, and after a short while juggling the blades, one of his own knives now joining the whirling blades as they crisscrossed the open space, they turned to combat training. Jack was surprised.